Mr. Carter, Reel 5. Do you remember the date that you left Aldershot?
Not actually. No.
Where did you go?
Well, with being members of the Guards Brigade, they were given the distinction of marching out of Aldershot with the rifles resting on the shoulder, up in the air. That's how the Guards marched, we were being in the Guards Brigade. And we set up for Portland in Dorset. We got there, I think it was late, I think it was dark. As you know, you get to Weymouth, and then you have Chesil Beach. And there was a single rail track runs along Chesil Beach. And the train took us right to Portland Station. We disembarked and formed up. And Portland is very steep. From the railway station, you start to rise up through the town. And it gets steeper still. And the band struck up, and the people in Portland were amazed. They'd never heard a band strike up and go through their town. But in the finish, that had pack in line, because it got steeper still up to the barracks, which is now the Burn, which is now a prison. And we marched in there. And we were lucky our back rooms. The regiment who vacated it, I won't mention the names, but they hadn't left it in a very nice estate, ready to clean up. A very windy place up there, Portland. And we did a march from Portland to Weymouth to the Lord Mayor. There was a march there and back, we did that, and back up into the barracks. The barrack rooms are like built into the cliff, and all the barrack rooms are in a join each other by a passage at the back. You could go from one room to another all the way at the back. Still, it wasn't heating, there was no hot water or nothing, you know. And it was there that I got me. In fact, I was out on fatigues one day when the rest of the lads had to go to school for an examination for this second class certificate, which is a simple arithmetic, a simple thing, right? So I went to the lunch coffee in charge, I called him Slim Gardner. In fact, he became a police superintendent here after the war. And his son is up at Richmond as a sergeant. So I went to Slim, like I said, I was out on fatigues. I said, and I wanted to sit for my second. Oh, he said, turn up. I turned up and I got my second class certificate. And That was day extra, which was very nice. We did guards there. We did went to Warminster and did training on there, Salisbury Plain. And we went into camp.
These would be manoeuvres and proper exercises. Can we just examine the kind of training that you're doing in field training of that kind? Basically, what was it at the... Was it infantry attacks or defending or what have you?
Attacks,
Was this based on First World War experience?
Yes.
Yeah. You went forward with a rifle and bayonet and charge, what have you? As many of your instructors and older officers and, of course, NCOs would have been First World War men, were they not?
There were quite a few, yes. Especially the officers. Mm.
Was the training out in the field, was it tough training?
No, it wasn't tough.
It can be very cold down there. And
well, the general did it in the summer. Always in the summer.
Did it entail being out overnight?
Yes. Night maneuvers and everything. Yeah.
And how did you sleep? How did you sleep? Where were you, in effect, accommodated at night, if you're out in the wilds?
You slept where you were.
You didn't have bivouacs?
No.
Hedgerows or what have you?
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of particular maneuvers and exercises you were doing then?
No.
How the British Army was certainly immediately prior to the war was always criticised by the fact that the men were somewhat robots. You know, they weren't taught to have initiative. Was that what was happening in your own experience?
No.
You were allowed to think and do.
Yes.
So on an exercise, they may say to certain leaders, NCO, that they're knocked out of action and someone else has to take over. Is that how it was done?
I remember one officer saying, he was the first robot officer, and this was in India. He said, when war comes, he said, you could lose your officers, you could lose your NCOs. He says, but out of you lot, he says, someone will come forward and lead you. And that's as true as I because it happened to me.
And we'll come to that, obviously.
Yeah.
So the training wasn't, for the want of a better word, robotic?
No. Just playing soldiers with officers, it was a good time for them. I should think, mate, you know.
The food and the accommodation was similar wherever you went, was it?
Yes, yeah, the old boys ate things and that.
That didn't change.
Olive stew.
Keeping your weapons clean must have been difficult when you're on manoeuvres. What was the process of keeping your weapon clean?
Well, you have to keep them on with them. The foot of the rifle is a little oil thing, and you pull through with a 4B2 and you kept his oil in that.
And they were very strict about that, were they?
Oh, yes. They were very strict about that.
When you fired at them, when you'd fired them, were they more difficult to clean?
When you fired them, you had boiling water and you turned it down the rifle, but inside, you know, to your, I don't know what it was for, but
descale, whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that, and then you pulled it through the pull-through, you know, but you always have this boiling water to pour down.
How did the people of the area receive you?
What important? Well, we got on very well with them. We still have a branch down there, yes. Yeah.
Did they invite you into their homes?
No, not actually, but a lot of them married the Portland girls, right? And then the Navy sent invites. And we were invited to go on the battleships. They were firing across in the Channel. I went on, I think it was a bar, and of course there was an ulterior motive. Yeah, right, because we could get, when they got 3 mile limit, we could get cheap cigarettes. Anyway, we were on the bar, and the other big battleship was about to fire. We were looking like the guns were swinging. And we thought, oh hell. A big clap, you know, and you get it more from the one in front than the one you're on. The one you're on, you don't hear, but that one, you do not clap your ears. So he put a day out and come back with these cheap cigarettes, and then the submarines invited us on, and I thought, no, I'm not going on the submarine. But some of the lads went again for cheap cigarettes. Well, I got on with the Navy, all right, we did that. A lot of the lads stopped down there and got work in the torpedo works. Married as the apartment was. We had a good football team there.
And that was playing other units, was it?
Yes.
Did you get to play the civilian teams as well?
Yes. We had a good football team, yes. The guard room there, I'll always remember the guard room, it had a cellar below, you know, underneath. Now, two of the lads, they, I think, had been absent. And they were confined to the guard cell in the guard room. And they found out that they could raise the boards up and drop down to the cellar and go out. So they waited till this sergeant, who they didn't like, coming on guard, as guard commander, you see, and they waited till he came on, and they dropped down and went out, you see, and he got a severe remand for them escaping, you see. They got their own back on him. Oh, part one was very good. We then...
You said you got on well with the Navy, obviously, and presumably you got into local pubs, did you, and drank with some of these units?
Oh, yes, yes.
And there was no problems?
No problems, no. They generally say that the Army and the Navy didn't mix, but we didn't. I don't think we had any trouble. No. I think we had boxing matches with them, we had football with them.
Did you get involved with any of these sporting activities?
No, I wasn't a sportsman. I didn't get into that because being out farm and that, and the Saturday afternoons was taken up, not like the other lads, they had the Saturday afternoons to do sporting. Yes.
Promotion, was that coming along at this time? Were there any promotions?
No. But we went to best. Posting was to Weymouth. They had what they called the Red Barracks there, and our company was sent there. Of course, we were right in among the Weymouth, in the centre of the Weymouth, which we could go to the pictures of anything. Otherwise, we had to come from Portland, get on this train, which run very regular, to Weymouth to go to these pictures. And then we had to catch it back to Portland. We'd been stationed in Weymouth, we were okay for pictures and everything, pubs out.
Did they give you any lectures on the First World War and the lessons of the First World War?
No.
They didn't bother that with you?
No. Although in the back rooms they had all the VC's names up and such as that.
Which is part of your history of the regiment. Green Arrows had a good reputation wherever it went.
Yeah.
How long were you in this place?
Well, 34. Let's say 1930 I joined up. I'd go down to, I think it was, maybe just before or after Christmas, we went to Portland.
Of which year?
34. Then in the summer, the notice came up for the draft to India. You see, the 1st Battalion supplied the Indian Battalion. There was about 130 of us names upon the list of roll. We were inoculated and vaccinated, and all were in tent camp at the time because he was doing us in a tent. A bloke in front, a bit in front of me, like, he looked at the needle as he was going in, and of course he collapsed, he said, I thought, that could he make a good soldier. He did us, and then I think we were given 48 hours light duty. And then we were given a month's embarkation.
Did it affect you for those 48 hours?
Yes, I swelled up in my arms, all big slabs on them, like, you know. Yeah.
And then you said you were given embarkation leave. How did you feel about going abroad?
Well, I tell you, I didn't fancy India. If I've heard all these tales, you know, what all sorts of things like, you know, about India, you know.
What were those tales that they were telling you that put you off?
Dolali, going Dolali, all this eating. Watch yourself when you go to the train. Could be somebody there with a knife ready to slice you off. Oh, them tales, it's all bunkum. But the fact, the worst factor it was, now you joined for 7 years with the colours and 5 years with the reserve. But if you went to India, you could guarantee on a books a year for the king, because of the trooping season was very short and had very few troop ships. So you nearly do 8 years with the colours instead of 7 years, right? And while if you were stationed there, say, you about to Egypt, you then would class as home. Well, you'd do your 7 and you'd be back in England, you see. Which happened a lot to them out there. They were nearly into 8 years before they returned to England.
And did you know of this possibility before you even went there? This was something you'd been told, had you?
Yes. Yeah.
But you weren't excited about going abroad and seeing the world?
I wasn't excited.
And your family, how did they feel about you going?
Well, I said anything, just to be pretty happy, that's all.
Yeah. Did you say that you had an older brother in the regular army at the time?
No, they were all conscripts.
Oh, they didn't?
I was the only regular.
You're the only regular. Yeah. When you left, after you came back from your embarkation leave, did you go into the, you know, onto the boat straight away? Were you straight onto the ship?
No, I think we were maybe a month before we set off. We had the inspections and without KD.
What did they give you for KD? What were you issued with?
We were issued with a pith helmet, KD shorts, and KD.
You took that as well, did you?
Yeah.
Because India.
Yes, yes. Well, I could be sure, but I know you took it as a party as well.
And you tried this on, obviously, before you left. You've given it and tried it on, made sure it fit.
I don't think so. We tried our helmets on. We were supposed to have taken with our helmets, that's about all. Yeah. Well, I think we just strung it in shorts and slacks. I think there were slacks as well.
And this would be the draft
yes.
unit that was going to go in
yes.
to the 2nd Battalion.
That's right, yes.
And for that month that you were there, did you... Did they give you any lectures on what India would be like before you left?
No.
Never prepared you in that way.
The central mess, he said, you're going to be lucky. He said, it's 3 weeks to India. He said, you'll be 4 weeks. He said, you're going up the Persian Gulf. So they went up the Persian Gulf to drop RAF off and units like that. And that was up in the Persian Gulf where Iraq was, you know, Basra, went to Basra.
Where did you sail from?
Southampton.
And do you remember the date that you left these shores?
It was in October, I remember.
That would be what,
34.
The ship you went on, was it a troop ship?
Yes, it was the Lancashire. And the first meal on any troop ship, you know what it is? It's tripe and onions.
Were you a good sailor?
Oh, we ended up what it was, no.
You weren't seasick?
Once you got through a bit of biscuit and into Mediterranean, it was all right. Mm.
You weren't seasick yourself?
No.
What were the conditions on board the ship? For example, where were you sleeping and living?
Well, some had hammocks in the long like a long room. And it was also a dining hall, you see. There was tables. Well, I slept on a table. I didn't have a hammock. Some slept under the table and some slept in the hammocks.
Pretty crowded, was it?
Yes. Oh, there's all sorts of regiments on, you know. There was a detachment at Royal Scots and they were on the way to Rasma. Little knowing that a few years down we'd be up there. Yes.
What was the food like on the ship? Was it an improvement to what you'd been getting on land?
Basic.
What did you do on the boat? It's a long way, as you've said. What, did you have duties to perform?
No, we hadn't duties to perform. We just mustered, like, on the deck. Like boat room. Because there was Lascars on there, who was always swimming with the next guy. They were always swimming. And maybe they'd have an entertainment, but playing RCRC or something like that.
Boxing, was there any boxing matches arranged?
No, there's no boxing matches.
Did you get the opportunity for PE to loosen up? And, well, I say PE, PT, I should say.
No,
physical exercise. Were there regular inspections of your place of sleep? They came round and inspected the decks, did they?
Yeah. Well, there may be done, but you have to keep them clean. Yeah. Lascars all kept the top decks clean, but they used it separately. You'll have to keep that clean.
Was there a canteen on the boat that you could get your drinks and cigarettes and so forth?
I can't remember.
It must have been a boring journey, ultimately, with just the same routine day in, day out.
Well, there was one good thing about it. We were going into the sun, nice and warm, through the Mediterranean. We enjoyed the sun. I mean, we left in the winter. Coming on, winter was coming on. And we were going into a nice warm climate. It got too hot when we got through Egypt, like to Nazareth.
Where were your stops? Where did the boats stop?
I stopped at before we went through the canal, where all the Egyptians came, you know, the humans and that. You threw coins in and you dived down to pick them up and they tried to sell you all sorts of boom boys and that, you know. That was the one we stopped. Oh, we stopped at Aden to drop some RAF off there.
Did you get ashore at any of these stops?
No, we didn't.
You weren't allowed off the boat?
Not private, no. They had women and sergeants and that would go ashore, but we couldn't.
Cramped together in, as you say, in the climate getting hotter all the time, and you're not allowed off the boat at all, that cause any problems, any tensions, and the boredom of it all?
No, we took it for granted. They were allowed off at Basra to go to a swimming pool. But I couldn't swim, so I didn't go. But a lot of them went to the swimming pool.
That would be when they took the RAF people, was
yeah,
it?
To Basra, yeah.
Then back down again. Where did you stop on the rest of
the battery then? And the train was waiting for us. I think it took out. We were due for Meerut, that's the way the second battalion was stationed. They just moved up from Pune to Meerut.
What were your first impressions of India?
not very good.
In what way?
Well, having left England, you know, and in a different world altogether, there was no, nothing like England where you could go to Poodham and go to which is different altogether. The first year I nearly set about saving my money up to buy my ticket, discharge. I had that idea because it was that boring. Anyway, we landed at Karachi, and there was a troop train there. And it was a 4-day journey to New York, maybe 5 days. And during the night, I think there would be 6 to a carriage. And there were 3 bunks. You could pull them down. You could sleep, you see, during the night. And when we got to Meerut, the band was there, played us into the barracks. We were then split up into different companies.
Which company did you join at this
same
point?
Company.
Same as the one you'd been in?
Yes, same company, yes.
Do you remember again your platoon?
Not actually, no.
What were the barracks like at Meerut?
All barracks. There were big tall buildings. I think they said they used to keep elephants in it. They had like a main hall and then 2 verandas at either side. They slept, a platoon slept in each of these. And there was one time, I'll tell you how big they were. Commanding officer, he was keen on sports. And when the sun went down at night time and it was getting cooler, he wanted us all onto the sports ground, you see. And he came riding through the barracks, our barrack, right, on his horse. He rode through. And out at the other end, it went straight through. Chasing them all out, like a set the room on, he chased them all out on the sports ground. That's how big them barracks were. And there was a rifle rack where you put your rifles in and it shut, you see. But you always took your magazine out, and you had a wooden box at the side of your bed where you put your magazine in and you burn it and you locked it. You had a key to lock it. And there was always a room orderly who was changed every day, he took his turn. And he had a book, and if you wanted your rifle to clean or you went out on parade, you had to sign in this book.
Why was this?
Well, I suppose it would date back to the Indian Mutiny, you see.
In case the Indians would stole your weapons, though?
That's right, yes.
Did you have English Indian natives working in the billets and in the camp?
Oh yeah, the Char Waller, the Dobie Waller, the Flying Dobie, the Indian tailor. Oh, they were all employed, right? And each officer had his barber. I think Sergeant would have a barber. Yes, he would have a barber.
Did you have anyone coming around your billet rooms to do things for you?
The only one that came down was to save you in bed. he used to come just before rebellion. He saved you in bed.
That must have been an experience for you. To woke up to be shaved.
To wake up and see the bloke with the razor in your hand, yes. Until you got used to it. But, I think we've been told about it, so we're not surprised. I think we've been shocked if we haven't been surprised. Been told, right, to see a man down with a razor, right?